You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Rehappa podcast. Every week, we get aboard the Hot Mess Express and we talk all 90 day, all over the planet, mostly US. I'm still slacking on the UK. I do apologize in advance. But yeah, I am your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, please, Zen Bikili, ready once again to break down Happily Ever After Season 7, Episode 7 today. And with me is someone who is no stranger to romances that may not match or should happen or should be televised. She is, of course, the co-host of the Perfect Match Married at First Sight podcast, as well as the Love is Blind podcast on the overarching Love at First Sight wrap-up feed over here on RHAP. It is the one and only Asia back again. Asia, how are you doing?
Hey, Puya. I am doing well. I had to catch up on this season, and I mean, what a whirlwind it has been, I will say. Now that TV has slowed down, I was like, oh, this is perfect to just consume myself with. So I'm very excited to talk about all of these people because, yeah, for some reason, the TV loves to televise couples that just have no business being together.
Truly. And honestly, I almost wished for you that TV was a lot more busy so that you couldn't catch up because Yikes. Seven episodes in. I told this to Liana before I got on. Genuinely, I think this is the most frustrated I've been covering the show today. Ooh. So we'll see how my energy is because I have stuff to say. I have frustrations that have peaked. But of course, we're going to keep it fun, hopefully, here talking episode seven. Now, Asia, I've been asking people along the way here. I know you've been watching 90 Day a lot closer and a lot more frequently. Can you remind me which of these couples are any of the couples, rather, your first time experience here?
Okay, so this is my first time having the pleasure to experience Michael and Angela.
Oh, what a pleasure it is. Yes.
I know. And then Andre and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, everyone. Well, yeah. Everyone else I had. Oh, no. Big Ed and Liz. Big Ed and Liz. Of course, I've seen Big Ed everywhere. Like how, unless I've been living on a rock, I wouldn't know who he is. But I haven't seen a relationship of his play out. So this is my first time getting to really see him.
Well, yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot, especially this episode. We do get quite a bit from Big Ed and Liz, which we will discuss. But we're going to kick it off with one of the couples that you have had the misfortune of meeting for the first time. And that is Michael and Angela. Now, first item of annoyance that I have with the show is that 2 weeks ago, the next time on was all about Angela destroying everything in her path in front of Michael's house. So I thought, okay, it's going to be a big part of the next episode. Then last week, it was literally the last scene of the episode. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. They'll give us the payoff of the cliffhanger right as we get back into episode 7. And no, they did not do that. They ended up being fifth. They were the fifth scene in the show. Four other couples went before we got the payoff for this. So I thought, let's do the viewers right. Let's do the listeners right and give them the payoff right out the gate on this podcast. Now, Michael and Angela, last we saw, again, Angela is in front of Michael's house. Michael was asked once again, can you please remove your Instagram? And he said, LOL, no. And to Angela, he cussed out her whole generation because she has pulled up at 11 at night and has started causing havoc to his car. But Asia, it's okay because she paid for the car, so it's her car.
Right. So if I've put, if I am the one funding this car, I can do whatever I want to with it. I mean, like, what is she thinking? Like, okay, you were saying this is your car. You're going to be responsible for having to fix it, or you're just going to have some damaged car across the world that you like, I just don't care. I'm good. I was very confused about her outrage. I do have a question from earlier. Yes. In their relationship, or like, when we got to see them, get married and, everything play out, have there ever been good moments between these two?
Yeah, there's been some sweet moments, right? they one of the seasons does end with them getting married, which is very sweet. The whole ceremony was sweet. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when it comes to Angela, it's very much the on-off switch is loose, where they're on immediately next scene, they can be completely off, and something small can completely derail the relationship because she's mad over nothing.
Right.
So it's a lot of that. And the difference is in the past, Michael was a lot more tolerant and a lot more patient is probably the word I should use, where he would patch things up. He would listen to her. He would follow she's mad, let me fix it. Whereas now, I think he's at his wit's end and has pretty much taken on the mentality of, I need to be my own person. I deserve to have my voice heard in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And she does not like this at all, very clearly.
Yeah, because on this season, I mean, I guess this goes back to your frustrations. They've just been stretching this stuff out. So the only thing I know about them is that he doesn't want to delete his Instagram. So that is a cause for her to buy a flight to go visit him unannounced.
Yeah, the whole notion that the entire storyline of Angela and Michael is, I'm Angela and I think Michael is scamming me potentially because mm-hmm. he has gotten his Instagram back on and I don't trust it. I think he's out there doing something with it. And they've stretched this for 7 episodes. We didn't even see Michael's perspective until last episode. Yeah. And now she's out here with her friend Renee tearing this man's car down and trying to pull, like, I don't know why to her this is a part. Like, she's trying to yank the license plate off the back of the car. For what reason? How right, is that demolishing that, the car?
Like, I mean, I'm no car enthusiast, but I've been in a car. And aren't those nailed in? Like,
right.
License plates aren't just put on with a staple. So that's why she was struggling. And then that's when you get, like, if you're upset and you're doing that, you can't do what you're trying to do while you're upset, you're going to only be angrier because you're like frustrated that you're looking silly. And so,
yeah. Like, to me, I feel like this was her way of trying to avoid wrecking the car, because I'm also not a car enthusiast, but looking at a car, I would imagine the window's the easiest thing to break, right?
Right.
If you're trying to cause demolition. So I feel like it was more of a, I'm here to huff and puff, but I'm not here to really destroy this car. And I think that, as much as she keeps saying, you know, I brought my marriage license, which means I have the right to destroy this car because it's my car too. I don't think she wants that smoke. I don't think she wants to have the car get destroyed.
Yeah, it seems like it's like, okay, I want to damage it to the point where it's still drivable, but he has to walk over. He has to drive around and remember the damage that I've done to it.
Right. It's like, leave your mark, but don't make it unusable. Exactly. Right. I do agree with that.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing is from last episode, Renee is like, Michael, get your butt out here. She's destroying the car. You need to get out here right now. And then this episode, he still doesn't come out until she starts pulling out on this license plate. Then suddenly Michael's outside and he's like, what's the meaning of this? Are you mad? Why are you here unannounced? Like, this makes no sense. And she like fully lunges at him. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely was uncomfortable. Like, this is, and a lot of people have been saying this online. I've been saying it very loosely on the pod, but Angela should not be given a platform and put on the show.
Yeah, this was awful. It gave me an episode of Cheaters, like at the end when there is that confrontation, like old school Cheaters used to just be like, can't you see the cameraman, you see everything, and it's just like pure chaos because they are trying to catch this person off guard, which is just like with Michael. Okay, you're just mad. You have no evidence of any infidelity at this point. So like her anger is all like suspicion of him scamming her or talking to other women or whatever, since he has his Instagram. And just what does she expect from him? Not to be mad and kick her off of his compound, as he said. Like, what was she expecting to be the reaction?
I don't know. Again, I think she expects him to be on his knees begging and like, I'm so sorry, I'll do whatever. I think that's what she wants, or she wants him to be the aggressor. Basically, mm-hmm. She wants to end up in the right. And I don't think he gives her any of that to use at all. So Ultimately, when I look at everything break down, she ends up leaving and her ending parting words are, you will not come on my visa. And I truly hope that he says, okay, bye. Because It is not worth it. This precious visa, this whole, he's scamming me to come to the U.S. is not worth this kind of nonsense. I'm sorry. It just isn't. No visa is worth this nonsense.
Yeah, like this is compromising his sanity at this point. Because, okay, if you take a step back, they have not seen each other for 2 years in person. And this is the greeting you were met with? Like, no, what are you fighting for at this point? Why are y'all together? Why are you doing, like, she was threatening to punch his windows out. And it's just like, Angela, when you come in with this energy, you can't expect him to be excited to see you or just be like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Hey, what are you doing here? Like, of course he's going to come at you with the same energy of, okay, if you're doing all this, leave. So it's just like, even in the previews for next time with Angela saying, or basically just insinuating that there's still something there. How do you know when to let go of a marriage? When you feel you have to pop up unexpectedly in his country to catch him on a lie. Yes, yeah. That's when you know.
Yeah, or when you say F his family in front of his compound and wreck his car and then say you don't care. Like, this is how you know she has made zero efforts in, you know, thinking this through. No brain cells were harmed in the cooking up of this plan, because she literally has done all this. She's made a whole mess. She showed her whole ass, basically, and then still is like, I don't know, I still have feelings. You can't do that. What? You made your decision at this point.
Yeah, your decision was made when you decided to show up unannounced, like, period. And I, at first, when I was first seeing, like, watching, like, episode 5, 6, and finding out, like, her friend was going to go with her, I was like, what a good friend. But to allow your friend to do this and, like, make a fool of herself, like, that's not a good friend. Like, she was trying to be the middle person in the situation of, Michael, come out. She's doing all this stuff. She's doing this. You're her friend. What are you doing over trying to get Michael's attention? You should be stopping Angela from doing everything that she's doing. So I was just like, there is no right in this situation.
No, there is zero right. And honestly, I don't think she should be on the show. I know that I have been advertising, like when I'm talking about the show on my stream or at a plug at a podcast, I've been saying it's been a fun show this season because it's not been monotonous. It's been exciting. And I know these couples, so it's not like I know fully if they're bad, they're bad. So I'll speak on it. But this is, it's past that point for me. This was not fun for me. I do not want any part of this. And honestly, if I had it my way, I guess I have it my way because it's my podcast, but I would still have to continue covering this. But if I had it my way, they weren't on the show, basically. Yeah. So yikes. Very annoying. Very annoying.
This could have went so terribly wrong if like Angela had gotten a step closer. Like I totally believe that she was about to put hands on him. Mm-hmm. And this, it totally would have justified putting up a screen explaining Angela got out of hand and we will no longer be tracking their story this season. You know, like I would have been A-okay with that.
Yeah. TLC is like, no. There's money here. There's drama. Mm-hmm. We need to put this in promos for years to come. And that's what they're going to do. Now, damn, what was I going to say? So in the next time on, we do see that Renee, the friend, does say you can't get on a plane and not talk to that man. So they're going to end up meeting up again. Looks like at some club, question mark. So
perfect. Perfect choice.
Great. If there's not at least one drink thrown, I will nothing. I'm not going to do wagers on pods anymore. But I do think there will be a drink thrown in here. I feel like the appeal of seeing Angela and her drama on my TV has been long gone, but this episode especially really put an end to it for me.
Right. Because they did before the 90 days, haven't they?
They've done plenty. They did 90 Day Before the 90 Days, then they've done Happily Ever After. They've done, I think, a season of The Other Way, and then they're back here again. This is their fourth or fifth appearance on the show.
TLC, we've had enough. We get it. We're their good storyline.
Unless
this is
my
first exposure and I've had enough.
Yeah, unless you want to do a Michael the Single Life edition, then maybe we can talk. But I had more joy watching Michael get roasted by his friends at the swimming pool than I have any Angela scene ever.
Yeah, and she's the main appeal for them, so it's like
Yeah, well, I mean, I was looking through some forums through the Reddit. And someone really did bring up, like, she could have been arrested over this in the States.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm surprised no one else, like, stepped in. Nothing else happened. There were no repercussions here. But also, I guess that's better because I don't want anyone feeling any pity for Angela.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Now that that vent's over, I feel a little bit better. Let's go over and talk about Elizabeth and Andre here. So they did not go to Pam's birthday party, Pam being Elizabeth's mom, thankfully. But today, Andre has a meeting with his immigration lawyer. He ended up getting an extension on his 2-year green card, but now he has to go in to, you know, to get the permanent one, which is it's a 10-year card. But he was called in by his attorney for a meeting in person. And typically, you know, when you get called in to meet in person, that's never a great sign. He wants to go see what's up.
Yeah, the fact that they, you know, when he shows up to meet his attorney and she's like, okay, 95% of the cases that look like yours do not need an interview at this point. I was like, oh, that's concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, when it comes to the extension, what they'll have you do is you fill out the forms, you do all the paperwork, and they, you know, using the forms and the paperwork, they can pretty much deduce, you know, it's like, oh, they have a child. So there's the birth certificate. This is my tax returns. This is my job. This is, you know, all of those forms will make it clear. Okay. Oh, they have a joint bank account, basically more proof that they're still together. And that's it. You know, they're not filed for divorce. That's it. They live in the same address. That's it. But he's going to get an extra interview, which she says, the good news is you have an interview. The bad news is you have an interview. Right. Because we learn a little bit more of why this could be concerning because, you know, I initially thought, so an interview's fine. I mean, I did an interview for my 2-year card and it went pretty swimmingly. They asked some questions, but if you have nothing wrong, there's nothing to worry about. Like you're going to be completely fine. You're being honest. It's fine.
But we find out, and this attorney, I feel like the bedside manner was a little off. I think she put the fear of God in Andre.
She really basically. Did.
Yeah, because there was some extra questioning about, she thought, oh, maybe she's like, first of all, I've never seen a case where there's a child and an interview is scheduled. So that concerns me. Potentially, maybe they overlooked something from your past in Moldova. And he brings up, I was a cop in Moldova. There was an investigation, internal investigation on some stuff that went down, but I was never like in a bad spot. I never said anything bad. This is very weird. So then she brings up, could someone have complained about you? Do you have any enemies here in the States? Which this was an opening for Andre to be like, yeah, Libby's family is insane.
Right. So, they are not a fan of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that felt fine. Until then she mentions that, the officer that you are going to have an interview with, that person alone can decide whether you can stay, or they could hand you a deportation letter, or they could bar you from entering the U.S., which, listen, I know that these are all things that could happen, but maybe you don't tell them all this before you prep him for the interview. Maybe, right. Maybe that's not what you do.
Exactly, because now, understandably so, he is nervous and concerned, like, oh my gosh, like, we might have to leave. I might have to take my whole family, my daughter, my wife, to Moldova, and all because of, like, this is an introductory conversation about the situation.
Yeah, and I will give Andre a lot of credit, because both here and then in the next scene when he's with Elizabeth, he is very level-headed for the most part.
Yeah.
I think obviously in his head, he's thinking maybe Moldova, like if things go wrong, maybe Moldova has happened. And then on the other part of it, he's trying to figure out, did someone talk smack? Because that could have been the case here. But then later when he's filling Elizabeth in on everything that happened, Elizabeth's getting very riled up.
Like, yes.
This is complete BS. You've done nothing wrong. We have been dealing with these paperwork things for years. We've been dealing with immigration for years. This isn't fair. And Andre's like, that is not the energy we need right now. We need to stay humble voice for this interview. They might take us into separate rooms and question us. We just need to be cool, calm, collected, which absolutely that's what you should be doing. Because this, again, like you said, very, very real thing that could happen if deportation comes into play, especially when they've got this brand new house. They want to raise their daughter in the States. He's finally like got into a place where his work is doing well. So moving would be starting from day one, like Elizabeth said, and I don't think either of them would want that.
Right. And it with this situation, obviously this is because she's never experienced having to like deal with immigration outside of her relationship with him. Right. Like, it's not like who am I thinking of? The boxer and his.
Ari and Binyam.
Yeah, it's not like Ari who's done this before Binyam, right?
So I don't think either have. Yeah,
right. So yeah, I mean given what the immigration attorney told him, I understand why she is frustrated. However, it's like one of those, you got to focus on the actions right now. Like, well, okay, what can we do now to make sure none of this happens, rather than being worried about like the consequences that could possibly happen. The main thing that got me was, next with him saying, hey, do you think your family could have said something? And she just claims that, oh, they don't know how to, they wouldn't know how to contact immigration, as if they don't have Google.
Right. As if that is not a thing that's going to be available. As if we're not on television, as if we don't have seasons worth of documents here. But I mean, ultimately, I personally do not think anything's going to come of this. I think they're going to be completely fine. They have, like, for all the drama surrounding them with this family, with his past, they are a loving family with a whole home, a child. I don't think there's going to be any issue, even though the lawyer really, with the horrible bedside manner, made it seem like something could happen. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't think it's that deep.
Yeah, it seems like this is the couple that they're trying to, like, they have to bring in these external things to cause like some type of conflict or to have a storyline, because if you take away her family, you take away this situation with the immigration attorney, they seem fine. Besides right. her wanting to, like, you know, get a record deal for the nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
So just, I was like, they seem pretty normal.
I was like, you really, all you gave us from that whole like family dinner thing that happened was Andre saying it's been a couple of days since the birthday and I'm happy we didn't go. I mm-hmm. wanted that fallout. I wanted that drama, not this.
Right. Exactly. Let's see Elizabeth have to deal with the consequences of not going to her own mom's birthday. Like that in itself is like a big deal that they would have to, like, there's that much tension between the family that she has to miss out on a birthday. It only comes once a year, you know? So I feel like we could have gotten more of that. So maybe there really just wasn't, or they're stretching it out because that's what they're doing with this season and all the storylines.
Exactly. All right. That's it. That's it. That's all we had from Elizabeth and Andre. And by the looks of things, on the next time on, he's going to be going for that interview that they talked about. So we'll see how that pays off. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's going to be a problem, but we'll see.
Yeah. They're going to get us all concerned for nothing.
Except for absolutely nothing. Now, a couple that definitely need to be concerned are Usman and Kimbali, who are back once again. Asia, they are on their way to Sokoto now to get Usman's mom's blessing, because without this blessing, there will be no wedding.
I mean, you know, we could have seen the writing on the wall from 1,000 miles away. Nothing surprised me within this entire, with both of their scenes, nothing surprised me. So, you know, the fact that his, you know, we find out that his mom didn't even know that they were coming, like that this was happening. So Soulja Boy decides to pack up him and Kimbali and go to Sokoto. And so, of course, Kim is very concerned how this is going to go. She's worried. She's like, you know, I want to make sure that I'm respecting your mom. I don't want to, you know, do anything that's wrong. And so when they do finally, well, one thing that kind of got me was that her saying bye to the Yami room. We could have done without that, right?
Oh, yes, please. Definitely. Right? My God.
Yeah. So, yeah, we find out he's the most famous person from his region. So that's something. He said he gets recognized everywhere. And it was very interesting seeing that, you know, she met one of his like longtime friends. And when he was departing from them, she tried to fist bump him. And Usman was like, oh, no. If you're not with the woman, you do not touch her by any means. And so it was just like, this is just one of the many things that just shows you that they are just not equipped to be together, because you would think that learning about each other's cultures would be first and foremost on the agenda.
Yeah, zero prep was done here. First of all, like you mentioned, he hasn't told his mom this is happening, which is a huge red flag.
Yes.
But then he tells us Sokoto is where Islam is the most strong. It's a very mm-hmm. conservative city. And did he pass the note to Kim? I don't think so, because she no. was very much like, you know, treating it like normal. And then he's like, no, we don't do that. We don't. I was like, well, you should have said this beforehand
right.
to avoid this, because I'm sure Kim would have followed suit. No problem. I do not think she would have been like, oh, I don't believe in that. I think it was she just didn't know that it was a thing that was not to be done. But this is more proof that I think Usman is either messing this up on purpose or just not planning right. Because when you haven't filled Kim in on everything, you haven't filled your mom in on everything, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of going off vibes, I don't think that's going to work, especially if you are banking on your mom's approval. And I think there was a total of 2 or 3 times in confessional that he mentioned that, oh yeah, I don't know, I'm worried because my mom, she might have a, you know, thought about Kim because of the ex that I brought here. Which I was like, yeah, when your ex was baby girl Lisa and you are now bringing another woman from America who is older than you and mm-hmm. who, you know, your family wants children and that might not be possible here. Of course, they're going to immediately equate the two. Doesn't matter if they're a completely different, like completely different in personality and everything. That's still going to be something that comes up. And so he goes to his meeting with his mom. He decides, I should do one-on-one first before I go with Kim the next day. And, you know, he starts talking to his mom. So tomorrow I'm going to bring someone. You're going to meet them. You know, this is the woman that I was on call with one time, like when I was in Tanzania. So go, yeah, approximately what's her age? And he goes, 50. And she's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, you know, I hope there won't be any problems. And, you know, you can get to know her. And then his mom says, you know, we'll find out soon. And then she then follows that with, stop bringing women from across the world. Watch for your mistakes. And then ends it with, I just pray to God that Kimberly isn't your wife.
She couldn't have been any clearer that, for him to say, oh, this is one of my friends. She knows what's up. She knows that he is trying to introduce her with the potential of that. She's like, no, let me set the ground rules right now. I'm afraid that that's not the case. And even in the confessional after her, for her to say, you know, I could find him a wife in 7 days, like no problem. So there is nothing indicating that she will ever say yes to this. This is very much so Sumit's mom. Like, this is a hard no for her. Mm-hmm. But where Usman differs from Sumit is that I think Usman is going to use that as the perfect excuse why he can't get married to her.
Yeah. Oh, my mom has to approve. My hands are tied. Anyway, this was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Because
no more yammy.
No more yammy at all. So that's the thing, is that if everything we've just said isn't an indicator of where this is going to head, the last thing his mom says before he leaves is, yeah, as far as a request for marriage, I assure you it won't happen. So I don't know what Kim's going to do in this meetup to maybe change that, but I would give their odds very, very little. Like, definitely, I would even argue less than the chance of Sumit's parents approving of Jenny, mm-hmm. which they budged a little. I don't care how much they're backtracking now. They budged a little last season.
They did, but yes.
This is not going to happen. And I'm quite surprised, actually, that TLC showed us this, because how are you going to have any suspense for next episode?
Right. There was no way they could edit that to make it seem like a, maybe. Because for him to even say, she's 50, and his mom's first response was, God, really? Like, that's it? Like, oh, you're very clear on the situation. She's very clear that she wants grandkids. So I'm not sure if that's a thing that, you know, once he does introduce Kimberly, that he introduces the idea of the second wife so that they can have children, or that he can have children with the second wife. But we already know how Kimberly feels about that. So it's just like, I don't understand, which is what I get to that point with a lot of these couples, is like, what are you fighting for? What is it about y'all's relationship that you enjoy? Like, why are you in it? Because with Usman, why are you in this relationship besides the fact that Kim adores you? I mean, it seems like there are other women who adore him. But there's, for some reason, he is, existing in a world where he's introducing Kim to his mom.
Other women would not get him a spot on an American show that is known as 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah. Truthfully, like, you know, we joked about him doing mm-hmm. this when it was announced that he was going to be on again with a new woman in Kim. And now, given how he's talking about second wife, given how much Kimberly keeps insisting that the second wife pretty much can only be there for you to have kids with, and then no relationship, cannot live in the States, all these like conditions that I don't think he'll ever agree to. There's already, like, that's the thing, is that they already have such a massive fundamental disagreement on that,
yeah,
that would never work. And then now mom is going to put an end on it too. So we'll see where this goes, especially because looking at it, his mom and his family are very much conservative, very much following the faith closely. Mm-hmm. I just never saw this as working. And even more so, this episode more than any has further proven that for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we even knew with Kim's thought about, okay, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna propose to him. Like, oh, okay, that's where we're at now. So like, y'all are, you're forcing this relationship along. It's not him, even though he's fine with that.
Right. And additionally, we did get in confessional Usman's mom saying that she does not want her son to be like snatched away to the States, which is part of their plans is for them to live in the States. So he hasn't even told his mom that's what he wants. This is, you know, Usman keeps touting that he's this Mr. International superstar, but big old superstar still afraid to tell his mom what he wants.
Right.
Not a good sign.
Yeah. I was, my mom had that saying. I was talking, I was watching some of these episodes when I was at her house this weekend. And she was like, I was like, why is he with her? Like, why are they together? Because I could say the same about her. Like, what is he giving you that you wouldn't find better in a different relationship? And mom's like, he just wants to be on TV. And she also told me that his net worth is $75,000, which doesn't really equate to the superstar that he's presenting himself to be.
He's like, factually, people know him across the world because of this show now. Mm-hmm. So factually, he's known, but very well known superstar status known. I wouldn't say so.
Right. Like, especially like these days, stars don't shine as bright as they used to. Like, you know, back in the day, seeing a celebrity was like a big deal. Now, social media. We have so much access. Like, Usman is somebody that many people have much access to. So you can't go off of this many people know me. So I'm valued at this, you know, many dollars or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Also, your artist name is Soulja Boy, and there's already a more popular Soulja Boy.
Exactly.
So, yeah. How's that going to work out for you? And you know, I'm looking at his YouTube right now. His YouTube touts 29,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. His latest music video that came out was 2 weeks ago, 74,000 views. Not too shabby.
Okay.
But then the three before that have a total of 30,000. No, not even 25,000 combined for three. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I think what you said was very, very, very important is that in the digital age now, where pretty much you can, if you are interested in the culture, the music, the TV shows of any region, any country, any city in the world, you can access that. A lot of people can be argued as being well-known or superstar status. Now, in Sokoto, is he very well-known? Yes, because he's from there. And I think that a lot of people recognize him, know him. And he does say, I'm the biggest, you know, artist in this region. I don't doubt that for a second. Mm-hmm. And I don't doubt what his mom is saying, where I can find him someone and have him a wife in 7 days. I was like, I believe you. So I think she's just going to be like, son, stop doing this nonsense. You're done. You're cut off.
Yeah. I think she can easily put a nail in this next episode. But my concern is, how is Kim going to come out of this conversation? Because there's no way she's going to come out of this feeling good. Like, I feel like she might feel, she might be heartbroken. I mean, because it might be a huge curveball for her, the way that, you know, his mom is going to feel about them. And that's going to only going to show her that he has not been talking about her to his mom, knowing how important she is to him. That is a very telling sign. But I mean, there are a lot of red flags that Kim has overlooked. So, you know, I'm nervous for her. I feel like she might feel a little blindsided, even though she should see it coming. It might be a different thing because I don't think his mom is going to spare her feelings at all.
Yeah. What I'm confused by is that, so I'm looking at the episode list for the last six seasons of Happily Ever After. First season had 10 episodes plus two tell-alls, so 12. Second season had three tell-alls with 9 episodes. And then Season 3 had 9 episodes, so about 9 to 10 episodes, all the way to season 5, which had 15 episodes. Season 6 had 15 episodes. If season 7 has 15 episodes, that means we're at the halfway mark of the season. How are you going to squeeze out 8 more episodes of content for these two after next week? Because I truly don't see it.
I don't either. Like, they're going to have to skip them a couple of weeks, like maybe 3 episodes, because... Well,
that's what I'm curious about, because they're there right now. Mm-hmm. Let's quickly think about the couples. This is exercise of Michael and Angela are going to have another talk tomorrow. They can arguably go for 8 episodes, depending on how that conversation goes. Elizabeth and Andre, that family's constant, so it can keep going on. With Bilal and Shaida, are you really going to do the same story for the next 7 episodes? Yes, you are, because you did that for the last season. And Jenny and Sumit are just chilling. Big Ed and Liz, I guess, yeah, they might just be done. The Kim and Usman might be quickly done by like episode 9.
Yeah. Unless they decide to, because they did give us the buildup of Kim going to visit him. So if they want to complete that storyline, they could show us her coming back.
Yes.
And kind of the repercussions of that, like her son and her friends. Maybe.
Potentially. We'll see. I think that about covers everything with them on the next time on. Spoiler alert, family's not really approving. So we'll get to that next week. But for now, let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. We are back. We're going to now talk about Bilal and Shaida, which, Asia, we got to talk about them last season. How are you feeling seeing them for 7 more episodes here?
Oh, my goodness. Bilal is no better. You know, I was just hopeful. I was like, they'll get married. He'll stop. You know, he'll stop with the pranks. And so if he stops with the pranks, then he'll be better. You know, he'll do better. He'll want to do better. But he's still awful. He's just constantly trying to catch her doing something wrong. It's as if he thinks he's better at life than she is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done it before, right? So he thinks he knows everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he like knows it all, and it's exhausting. And I just know she can do better. He like it's to the point where I'm like, he doesn't deserve her. Like, she is the prize, and he's just this, oh, well, you know, I can do whatever, I could say whatever, because we're married now. You're my wife and, you know, you're here. But it's so annoying. He's so annoying. And I just, ugh. I like her so much, and to be with him is just like, oh, don't. He's awful.
And I think that is the perfect segue to my thoughts on this whole situation after this episode. You are 100%. I co-sign everything you said about Bilal. I felt very infuriated with him this episode.
Yes.
But also, part of me is frustrated with Shaida for being kind of delusional about Bilal at this point.
Yes.
Like, he is pretty much trying to put any excuse out there to not have this happen. And you are still holding on to that hope, which obviously when you're in love, you're in a relationship, you hold out for this hope. But I'm frustrated because I wish you could see it, that me this is too. Probably not going to happen with him, because you are kind of alluding to you want something to change in the next year. He has no interest in looking at the next 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And her only sliver of hope was that prenup. That's it. And so I think the fact if they hadn't solidified, oh, by 40, we will try for children, I think that she would have seen like, no, children, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, I cannot move forward. And for him to just compromise, like, oh, well, yeah, okay, we'll put that in there. That was her little sliver of hope that she's like, okay, yes, I can get that. But she feels so strongly about it. She is passionate. She wants a child herself. Like, she wants to have a child. And he has zero interest. And it's just like, I wish he could like clearly see that. But it's so hard because she's like, well, no, like he agreed to it. So there's no way he could not want to have a child at all. But he is doing everything in his power to prevent them from, like, he has made it clear, we are not trying whatsoever. We are not trying. We're not trying. Like, geez, you're making her feel unwanted. He was offended
that there was a alluding to them. Like, no, that is not happening. Because here, this is the way I see it, right? When she put it in the prenup by 40, it's like when you do a group project and they tell you the deadline to submit is December 15th. And you're like, perfect. If I submit it December 14th, that works. I don't have to submit it December 1st. Whereas she's like, you know, if we work on it and then we do it from now, like, we'll have a head start. We'll be done by, like, you know, November 3rd. That would be great. And he's like, no, we have time. We have till the 15th. Why would we rush into it? It makes no sense.
Yes, that's that's what's annoying, because I wish that they would have gotten more on the same page with not like having a deadline, but that they do have the intention of both wanting a child. So I think that's the hard part, is like, in his mind, there's a deadline. So he's thinking, I don't have to want one right now. Maybe that could change by 40, but right now I don't even have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. But the fact that that is so present on her mind, like, she want, now that they're married and she is 37, she wants to proceed. And that's perfect. Like you said, he doesn't want to turn in the assignment early. He's like, what's the point of that? So it's really frustrating, because it's almost like now she's locked in because they're married. Once we get into it, I see that there's like hints of him having that fear, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So trying to make her feel bad.
I mean, that's the thing, is let's dive into, let's talk into what we haven't even talked about, is the, what they did this episode.
Yeah.
So this is something Bilal did last season, where he was like, I wanted to take her mind off of stuff. So I took her on this carousel, even though I know she's afraid of, Ferris wheel, even though she's terrified of heights, it'll take her mind off it. Here, he was like, you know, I know that she's worried about the results of the fertility tests that are coming in, and she, her mind is on it. So I want to take her mind off of it by taking her to go driving, because, you know, she's trying to get acclimated with driving in the States, because she has to drive on the right side, whereas she's grown up driving on the left side of the street. So it's a bit of an adjustment period. Now, this is all great, right? Some people, I know that when they drive, they get their mind off things. Me personally, when I drive, I get a lot of anxiety. I don't love it. But what's worse is that if I'm driving, if I'm going to drive, yes, I'm a little anxious, but if no one's in my ear, I can do it fine.
Yeah.
Bilal is not a silent passenger. Bilal, first of all, very shady with, today's the day you're going to learn how to drive in America. Okay. And then when they switch seats, she's driving. He's like, wait. So she decides to take her shoes off because she says she has a heavy foot. And if she has her shoe on, she'd be like, going faster, like,
I mean, driving, you know, those Timberlands, those things are heavy duty.
Yeah, I've never worn boots to driving, yeah. So I can't speak on it myself, but I was like, hey, fair enough, like, you don't have to. And then he's like, but the interior's leather. She's your wife, allow it, please. Okay, right. Like, it'll be fine, your life will be fine. nothing a quick little like spray and swipe isn't going to clean off, if anything.
Right.
I feel like, yeah, I guess is leather, that would be easier to clean than like if it was, right? Because it would just slide right off.
Exactly. He also acts like she was sludging through mud before she got in the car and then put her shoe on the seat. he is such a nitpicker that he wants to criticize everything that she's doing, right? Like no matter what it is. So
it's very much his way is right and other ways are just wrong. And even if the other way works, it's still not the best way. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel it is with him. Now, then when they start, she starts driving. She's clearly very comfortable behind the wheel, the way I look at it. But
yes.
I think she took a couple turns with a little less brake pedal, if you know what I mean. Like the turn, she kind of like kept the speed going. He didn't love that.
Like but go-kart then, style.
Yeah. Then he put his hand on the steering wheel to like stop her, which I think is dangerous, right?
It's more dangerous than allowing her to do what she was doing. It's
not like a driving instructor car where he has brake pads in the passenger seat to stop it, because that might be the safe, if you're trying to intervene, that's the safe way to do it. Mm-hmm. But no, he puts his hand on the steering wheel and then he's like, calm down for a second. Don't mess up my car. And then he says he's getting irritated. And I was like, isn't this supposed to take her mind off of it?
And
you succeeded. Her mind is off of it. But now her mind is on, my husband's mad at me for driving. And I didn't total the car. I wasn't close enough to hit that thing. I've been in a car, you know, I'll speak on this with me and Liana. Liana's a very confident driver. Mm-hmm. Liana doesn't, she's not like speeding, but she drives at a higher speed than what I would drive. So there have been moments where I'm like, oh my God, this is too fast. But it's really not. It's just me. Or I'm like, oh, that was close. But she's been driving about 15 years, let's say. So she knows what she's doing. Shahida said, I've been driving for 17 years. Like the outside of the fact that she has to get used to driving on the right side versus left side, which I'm sure there's a bit of a learning curve to, I don't think she's lost the basic fundamentals of, you know, turning,
right,
signaling, speed, like speeding at the right time, slowing down at the right time. So to me, it gave a little bit more of Bilal's very precious about his belongings and his stuff, and this is his car, and he's very much like, don't do this to my car.
Right. And I mean, the steering wheel is on the opposite side as well. So that was something I didn't realize until I went to London this summer, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is trippy.
Yeah, it's both. It's on the passenger side, the driver's side. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like they're in a parking lot. So all of his concern was just so unwarranted. He's just like, oh, there's a car. There's a rock. We are in a parking lot. We're not on the highway for you to be freaking out like this. And it was just like all this did was cause unnecessary stress and make her want to be worried about the fertility stuff. Because it's just like, okay, I'd rather not stress about this. I'd rather stress about something that matters. And just the don't mess up my car. Excuse me, y'all are married. That's y'all's car now.
Hey, Angela said it. It's my car too. It's my car too now.
Goodness. Just like come down a notch, please.
That's all we can ask for. That really is all we can ask for. Yeah. So then later on, they do get their Zoom call in with the doctor who gives them half the results, I guess. We learned that her hormones look really good. So that's great. Thumbs up. Amazing. But then the ovarian reserve, basically checking for the eggs, that test is still pending results. So they don't know that. They're waiting on some remaining blood work. And that is where you alluded to the conversation of, have you been trying? And she's like, yeah, we've been trying. He's like, no, we have not been trying. So then Shahida has a confessional where she says, you know, we've been using condoms when we have sex. But we've had a little oopsie here and there, and I'm trying not to bring any attention to it because I don't want Bilal to pay any attention to it. And my hands went in the air. I was like, what is going on here? This is like some very odd, like spy movie, covert ops. Like, I don't want him to think about the fact that there may have been an oops. Like, this is where you know you're not in a good spot in a relationship.
Exactly. Where
you're playing the oopsie, I hope he doesn't notice. What is this?
Exactly. It's just like they are married now. So it's just like for him to be, he's behaving as if they're just dating. And it's like, no, we don't want that to happen right now. But it's just like, y'all are married. If y'all have, as she said, a little oopsie here and there, it should be fine as a married couple who had originally said before you got married that you would be wanting kids. But it's just like she doesn't want to say that to him. It's just like, oh, yeah, no. OK, we haven't been trying. So it's just it's weird.
Weird is very. Yeah. Again, TLC, I might not forgive you for this season, you know. I might not. I will continue covering this show because I love the franchise and, you know, I've got experience in the K-1 world. But my God, what are you doing to me? Why? Okay. Anyway, if it's I had to talk about it. Yeah. So then they decide to then do the exercise that actually, you know what? No, let's not talk about the exercise yet. So then there is a little bit of a conversation in front of the doctor where Bilal brings up reasons as to why they're not trying. He's like, sometimes, you know, she gets emotional and that makes me worried about getting abandoned. Now, Bilal has done this in the previous season where he keeps leaning on this. I've been divorced before and I don't want to ever get divorced again. So I'm worried about being abandoned. I'm worried about getting left behind. And he keeps leaning on that as the core reason as to why he doesn't want to try, which I understand him having the trauma of, you know, having two kids and thinking he has a happily ever after with his first wife and then having a divorce and then having to split time with his kids and not wanting to go through that again. I fully get that. But I also can't help but feel like it's pretty unfair of you to put that trauma on Shaida's shoulders and keep punishing her for stuff that she hasn't done. She has said some stuff, which we'll get into in the pros and cons section. But I don't know. Part of me just feels like, why are you putting this on her?
Yeah, it's definitely feels like a guilt trip because it's always, in this situation, and I would imagine this is when he pulls it out before, is that he's saying this in a time where he can't find any other excuse. Like, he's already explained, you know, how he feels about this baby making situation. And since, you know, she has a valid point that, you know, she is trying to make sure that she's healthy enough to have a child right now. If the longer they wait, the more the riskier it becomes. Then he's like, well, you know, I am afraid that she'll abandon, like, it's switching, it's deflecting. Like, why are you trying to guilt trip her into thinking that, oh, now she has to be concerned about this fear you have. And then in front of the doctor, who's just like,
yeah, this is not a medical
doctor. Yeah, this is not a therapist. This is the first of two times that the doctor's sitting there like, wait, I'm not counseling y'all. Y'all need to work this out somewhere else.
I said, have you been trying? I did not say, why have you not been trying? Right. Or tell me why that has caused you not to try. But, you know, the doctor may have gotten a little bit more than he got paid for. But then we move on to, they decide to do an exercise. The doctor last episode did say, you know, I tell many couples who come through to try a pros and cons list and kind of, you know, think about the reasons why they should and why they shouldn't and so on. But it's a very difficult exercise to do when it feels like one person is in charge of pros only and one is in charge of cons only, where everything that's pro is from Shaida and everything that's a con is from Bilal. And every time Bilal put a con out there, Shaida's immediately battling it and being like, actually, to dispute this, This is why that's not a con. And this is where I really felt like, Shaida, you should hear the words coming out of his mouth, because you are also defending, like, some of the points Shaida was making, I couldn't agree with. So, for example, the con that Bilal put out initially was there is an added stress to having children, which I think, as someone who doesn't have children, so don't take my word as gospel, it's just my two cents. Of course there's added stress. You know, it's a whole new person in the world that you are now not only taking care of, not only raising, but also you are the, you know, the two of you are the sole providers for. You have to raise this child. And especially in infancy, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of long nights, a lot of early mornings, a lot of things that you might have to put on hold to take care of this baby. So that's the thing that's going to happen. Whereas Shaida's rebuttal was like, you know, oh no, we'll fit, you know, we'll be end up being on the baby schedule. And Bilal's like, you need 10 hours of sleep a night. Otherwise you get cranky. She's like, that'll be fine. Like having a kid, it brings a joy. So that'll automatically, like, you know, get alleviated, which I felt like, Shaida, you want to have a kid and that's completely cool. And I know you're going to be very happy as a mother. I 100% see it. But also, you can't argue that you would still have the same amount of sleep and there will be zero stress, because that's not feasible.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the way that they should have approached this was we know that Shaida is the one that wants a kid now. We know that Bilal is the one who doesn't want one right now. They should have been responsible for the opposite, where Shaida was talking about
that's bringing up the cons.
Yeah.
That's the exercise.
Exactly.
Asia, you're a genius. That is exact. That would have been so much more fun for TV too.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. So they go back and forth a little bit. She's like, you know, it's a baby. You're describing it's not a monster. And, you know, then his next con is that it's a financial burden. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. He's like, no, it won't be fine. Like, basically, they do the same thing we just talked about. They go back and forth on this. And then Bilal ends up sideswiping the whole pros and cons and says, you know, I'm worried because I feel like sometimes you just want to run for the hills. Like, you'll bring up the D word. You'll bring up. And so basically, she would, if they get in a fight, she brings up divorce. And to him, he feels like if you're so loose with throwing the word divorce out, how do I feel secure that you're going to be with me? Which, again, I do think this is a reflection on the past that he has dealt with, where that has happened with Shaida, the previous wife, which then ended up in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's what it is, which, again, I also, and I'm not a Bilal defender by any means, but I can see why. Yeah, relax. What am I, Chappelle? No, I don't. I don't have problematic faves. But no, it's just, to me, it's like, I do understand that he still clearly has a lot of things that have hurt him from his previous marriage that he is holding here, but it's not helping him that he's hearing them again. And then Shaida is not comforting it, but instead saying, you know, people say things when they're angry. It's like, they do. But just because we say things when we're angry doesn't necessarily mean we should. Now, again, I just, with the two of them, I'm just like, you both know you don't want the same things. Why are we doing this song and dance?
Right. Exactly. They need to see an actual therapist to talk through this.
Yes.
And stop leaning on the OBGYN that's helping.
Yeah. So the next time on for them, they do get their test results back. And based on the little snippet they showed us, which I'm not sure if it could be edited in a way to make it seem this way, but the sentence we get is that this test result could hinder a successful pregnancy. So we'll dive into that more later and we'll see how it goes next episode. All right. That leaves us to go on over to a couple who is probably more happy than most of these couples we've talked about today. And their whole theme today, Asia, and I know you're happy to talk about this.
So just kidding.
It's the Kama Sutra segment of the episode with Jenny and Sumit.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I was like, this is what I have to talk about with Jenny and Sumit, really? Yeah. I was the instructor, Gonder, the entire time.
No, I was the couple next to them laughing. very unsubtly about how everything's going down here. So the episode starts, obviously they're still on their honeymoon, right? And first of all, Jenny trips on a shoe, but I looked at the footage. It did not look like she touched that shoe almost. Like, I'm calling a little shenanigans there. Yeah. But anyway, she decides, I'm going to go talk to my daughter, Christina, one-on-one. So she talks to her daughter. She brings up that, you know, I'm considering the U.S. visa stuff to do with Sumit to bring him over there. And then her daughter says that, you know, we, now that the restrictions are loosening a little bit, we want to come visit you and spend some time with you. And Jenny is very happy to hear this, which I was very happy for Jenny. Getting to see your family is always a great time. Mm-hmm. And she then decides, I'm going to tell my daughter that he wants to take me to Kama Sutra class. I'm going to do that. And, you know, if this was me and my mom was telling me this, like, Mom, I love that for you. We don't need to talk about it. I'm fine. I'm pretty close with my mom, but then there's some things we've never really like talked to. So to each their own. Yeah. But then,
yeah, no, I totally relate. I talk to my mom every day. Okay. This is not what we talk about.
Yeah. This might not get brought up in the daily call, you know? Yeah. So then her daughter is very open and understanding. They crack a couple jokes together. But then I think this was a moment where, because Jenny was hesitant about doing this class from jump, but seeing how comfortable her daughter was with it and how Sumit brought it up, she thought maybe this is a generation gap thing. And for them, it seems normal. So I'll give it a shot. Why not? And Christina's like, yeah, go, Mom. Have fun. You know, try it out. See how it goes. So that's where we leave that, where she now knows that her daughter's going to want to come visit. She, in her back of her head, wants to consider taking Sumit to the States still, even though Sumit was hesitant about it. And she's going to give the Kama Sutra class a good old try.
Yeah, I've been appreciating Jenny's openness to try new things the past few episodes. You know, just the concept of trying new things. You know, we could have done without, but, you know, it was really cool for her to do the zip lining. Mm-hmm. I think she's just trying to really, you know, she's immersing herself in this marriage, and I think she's really giving a lot. And Sumit is still Sumit, and you know, he is very he has shown his age, because I can't say, I mean, well, yeah, he is immature in a lot of ways, but in comparison to her, obviously, with the 30-year age difference. But I just want to see more scenarios where we're getting to see that he's all in as well.
Yeah, I find that with Sumit, what's fascinated me is that I don't know the exact time or how long they've been married at this point. I'm sure it came up in the show. Maybe I can go look at my notes here while we're talking, but it can have been longer than, let's say, 6 months. Oh, mm-hmm. Sorry. When the show started, I'm looking at my notes. Episode one, they've been married for 2 months. Okay.
Gotcha.
So the notion that we've been married for 2 months and we need to spice things up in the marriage 2 months in is ridiculous. And we've not seen this adventurous side of Sumit at all. And Jenny and Sumit are some of the couples that have been on this show for quite a few seasons in the different iterations. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, where's this coming from suddenly? But hey, you want to try stuff out? Luckily for you, Jenny's open to try stuff, and she's very, you know, giving it the good old try every time. So kudos to Jenny for trying. Kudos to Sumit for, I guess, being a good sport and not pressuring her, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. We like that. And then Jenny tells him about the whole talk with Christina and how Christina wants to come to India and visit. He seems very excited, which I do love. And then in this conversation they're having, she says that, you know, her experience level, oh no, she says in confessional, her experience level when it comes to sex is high. So she doesn't understand why she has to go through this Kama Sutra thing. And then she asks him straight up, she says, are you bored with me? What's going on with you? Which again, because the bar is in hell.
Yeah.
When anytime a couple on 90 days open with each other and ask each other direct questions, I'm very much like, yes, do it. Please go off. Amazing. So then he says that since they've gotten married, he's worried about the future. He wants to make sure they're good right now, but he wants to make sure the future is also good. So that explanation, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I understand her concern for sure, because it's like, where is this coming from? And then I can also see how Sumeet is trying to spin it by like, I'm just trying to make sure, you know, the longevity of it is great. You know, we're setting ourselves up for success is basically what he's thinking. But it's more so leaning on the side of why now? And you have to see a need for it presently, because this will always be an option. You know, they could go do Kama Sutra 2 years in. They don't have to do it right now. But he was insisting on trying it now so they can educate themselves. But for me, I feel like you have to, if you were completely satisfied right now, you wouldn't see a need for it right now.
Right, right. I feel like, right, especially 2 months in, the honeymoon phase of the marriage, like everything should be on the up and up. Yeah. But you're, you know, kind of looking with a little bit of concern. I think that's a combination of, you know, some of the stuff his family has said about her age and how, you know, there's going to be a time where you have to take care of her and like, you're not the same age. You don't do the same things. I think this is kind of his way of getting validation and proof that no, we can, and we will try new things. We will live together. We will experience new things together. So we'll see how that plays out. So yeah. They end up finally going to Kama Sutra class. It's Kama Sutra class time. Get excited, everybody. She, you know, she talks about, okay, I'm going to this class for him. And then he says something along the lines of, yeah, or I will do this exercise with someone else, which I thought, Sumeet, sit down. That's not a funny joke.
Yeah,
don't get fresh. It's not a good look. Stop it. And then the instructor has a confession. I love when they randomly, I want to be in the room for the back behind the scenes moments where they go up to this instructor for the Kama Sutra class and like, hey, we're doing the show. Would you like to talk about what you just saw? Because the instructor is like, I'm amazed. This is the first time I've seen such a big age difference in a couple. Mm-hmm. And also someone this old taking one of my classes. Because when they walk in, Jenny immediately says, wow, they're all young here. So everyone looks to be, what would you say, maybe in their mid to mid 20s to 30s?
Yeah, definitely late 20s, 30s age range. Yeah.
Yeah. So they try some of the moves. They do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They're having a little bit of like joking session in the middle of talking about stuff. And it's causing people around them to like chuckle. But I did not feel, because I felt uncomfortable when this class was brought up. So I was like, why are you making that? We don't have to be, this is an intimate thing. Let them do this off camera.
I literally wrote that down. I was like, imagine being another couple who signed up for this experience to have this intimate moment with their partner. And you got Sumeet and Jenny over here giggling and laughing and, you know, having a fun time at it, which, hey, do what you want to do, right? But don't affect other people's experience. And because it was such a small, you know, environment, they obviously did. So I was like, I hope those people get to come back for free.
Yeah, I like the, I do like this. I want to give them a little bit of, I love seeing them just laugh and have fun. Like none of them, because the whole thing with Jenny was, if I feel uncomfortable and I want to leave, we leave. I'm not going to stick around. So to see the two of them just have fun and laugh. Mm-hmm. And so, especially with a season like this, where literally every couple we've discussed so far, aside from Elizabeth and Andre, are pretty much fighting in every scene.
Yeah.
It was refreshing to just watch these two be in love and be happy. So I'm still rooting for them. I'm still rooting for them because they genuinely seem to love each other and are there for each other.
Right. And these are the type of moments I'm missing from some of these couples. Like I did enjoy seeing this for that very reason of just like, it reminds us why they're together. Mm-hmm. They do enjoy each other's company. They can make each other laugh. And so I can see the appeal for both of them to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's good to have these moments of levity in the relationship. So they're not constantly fighting about their issues. So it was fun for them. And I was just thinking, oh, those other people.
Yeah. These other people. Like, and especially that, I think in comparison to the other couples, they're just, if I was still doing a power ranking for these couples, they would be in the top two pretty much every week. Mm-hmm. In some capacity, because no matter what's going on outside with his family, they love each other and they're there for each other. Obviously, I do see some of the issues that are going to come up in the future with
her wanting them to potentially consider moving to the States and him still wanting to stick around and try and mend things with his family, and her taking that as a you're picking them over me. That's definitely possible. But and even though I'm not really a big fan of Sumeet, I do like that they were there for each other. And I do like seeing them in environments like this where they can just be happy.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to the end of the Jenny and Sumeet for this episode. And
he did have that one joke where he was like, I thought you had lost some weight.
Oh my God.
But you lost more than I thought.
He had us in the first half. I was ready with my pitchfork, ready to go.
Like some meat, you were doing so well.
Yeah. The next time on, they're talking about going, they're like in a store looking at vacuum cleaners. And he's talking about how, you know, what if we get a vacuum cleaner and the house is still not, like, it's still dirty if my parents come. And she's like, this is not the marriage life I expected in confessional. Do not know what this means. Do not know what this story arc is going to be. But we'll see next week.
Yeah. And it felt like his parents were coming over to visit. The place wasn't clean, as clean as it should be. And so he's trying to like get them to clean.
See, and this is why I am Team America for the two of them, because look how happy they were at their honeymoon away from the family. Right. Now they're going to go back home and this is going to be looming all over again. So you know what? Maybe all the nice things I just said, I take back because it's about to get bad again. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we peaked at the Kama Sutra of it all.
Yes, I think so, because nobody's going to ride harder for Sumeet's parents than Sumeet.
No, definitely not. He will ride for them harder than they will ride for themselves.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So then let's take a quick last break. And then when we get back, I guess we'll talk about Big Ed and Liz.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Asia. So you had heard of Big Ed. You had seen Big Ed off of the show. Now you're experiencing Big Ed on the show proper. Would you like to set up what begins here on this episode for them?
Oh, gosh. So... Big Ed. Well, first, my thoughts on Big Ed. He is a character, and I can see why 90 Day is just like, we hit the jackpot with this man, because you just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. You never know what he's going to do, what he's going to say. And so it's just, it's TV gold for sure.
Unpredictable AF.
Right. So this episode, they are going to have an engagement party. So we get the first scene of she said like she's going to be wearing white, but she doesn't want people to think it's a surprise wedding. It's just an engagement party. She really just wants to show that they're in love, because she knows that some of Ed's friends are going to be there. Hopefully his family will be there. And so she just wants to show that they're in love. She talks about how she got married at 19. And then, so right after her high school, and then her second marriage was a joke in Vegas. And so with Big Ed, she finally feels like she found her true love. And so she talks about how they have been broken up 8 times. And so she understands like how her family is concerned. So my question as Asia is, breakup number 5. Like, that wasn't that wasn't like, hey, we should call it. You had to go all the way to 8 breakups See, and still think y'all are meant for each other?
Yeah, that is a song Lou Bega did not sing about, which may have informed Liz a little bit more. Because 5 is already a lot. 8 is incredible. And then we saw the tail end, not to jump ahead, but the tail end of the episode, we get one of their proper disagreement fights. And when a fight is ending like that, I don't know how you've made up 8 times.
Right. It's just like they have amnesia and they're like, completely forgot how we got here, but we do love each other. It's like, no, y'all fight hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's it called? So then we end up, let's just skip right ahead into the engagement party. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the main stuff is going to happen. Right before the engagement party, we get a little bit of a blurb from Liz where she says, I'm not dealing with drama. If there's drama at my engagement party, people will be escorted out if they bring it. So I thought that was a weird inclusion. It ends up mattering later on.
Right.
So what I want to ask you this, you as Asia, I want to know this. Okay. Would you say Big Ed is a mix between Danny DeVito and George Clooney?
I would say he's
you don't have to answer it. It's cool.
I'm like, I've lost my words. I would say you could look at him like Danny DeVito's third cousin is what I would see him as. George Clooney involved at all.
Yeah, error 404, George Clooney not found. Also, don't bring our beloved Ted Lasso in this and say, yeah, you're like Jason Sudeikis. Oh, I love him.
World.
Where? Show me on the map where, because no, that is not a thing. This was a conversation to fill in the blanks here. This was a quick conversation between Liz and Big Ed about how Big Ed is and how he may be going into this party. Okay. So then we're at the engagement party, and Asia, what you ended up saying here rings so true. You never know what to expect to come out of Big Ed's mouth because, so first of all, they're meeting up with everybody. You know, they're going around the party, making the rounds, saying hi to everyone. So they're ending up, they're going to toast a drink with a small group of Liz's friends. And one of them says, cheers, bitch, to which Big Ed then also says it, but he says it weird. He says it very uncomfortably, I feel like.
He does. I don't think it's not like I can't even pinpoint it. I don't know if it, because you can't say like, okay, socially awkward. I feel like he can talk to people. But then it's not even like, oh, you can read a room. It's just like he speaks everything that he's thinking.
Yes, yes. And depending on the person, because I've definitely met people who kind of have that inner monologue out loud.
Yeah.
And some people, if you get a response from the person you're talking to, it turns out to be completely chill and it's not awkward. But if you're not, if you render your audience silent, then it's super awkward. And this happened here when he cheers, I felt. Then when they went over to the table to say hello to Liz's mom and her grandmother, it got worse because he goes up to Liz's grandmother and says, hey, mom, I guess, can I call you mom or should I say grandma? She's like, you call me grandma, which I was like, all right, fair enough. She says, call me grandma. And right. Then he goes over to her mom and says, hey, mommy. Oh, I probably shouldn't say mommy, right? She's younger than I am. And I wanted to turn off the TV. I couldn't handle it. Yeah. You don't say mommy, period, Big Ed. The time that you could have said mommy ended when you hit like 12 years old. You should not be saying mommy, period. Let alone where you are now.
And then calling out that she's younger than you. Why do you have to let the room know? Or anybody in the vicinity. You had to make a point to say, oh, well, probably shouldn't call her mommy because she's younger than me.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where, dude, everyone knows that you are older. You thinking that you bring up this little like jokey joke about it isn't going to make things better.
At all. Yeah, it's like kind of like comedians, how they think that if they call it out, then it's funny. So you yeah. no one else has to call it out.
I mean, it's the way someone who's self-deprecating will go, right? Like,
yes.
Back in the day, back in high school, I was definitely the heavy set one in my friend group. So I would always make the fat joke first so that no one else could do it. And then I wouldn't care because I broke suit. You know what I mean? It's like, as long as I did it, I don't care now. But with him, he doesn't do it in a smooth way,
right?
In a way where other people are going to play along. Everyone else is like, like that's really the reaction. And then what's weird is that you think it would end awkwardly here, but then Liz's mom, who we do hear that Liz and her mom don't really have like the world's best connection. Liz's mom says, you know, personally, I had concerns. I wanted my daughter to take a break from dating before you two started because she had gone through some stuff and I wanted her to find herself and, you know, really find herself in a better place. And she means the world to me and I want her to be happy, but you truly have taken care of her and I appreciate you for that, or something to that effect, which I thought this took a turn I did not expect. He just called you mommy.
But, right.
All right. I mean, as long as you're happy, you know, Liz seems to be happy. She lets out a couple tears there. And then the party's winding down. And as this happens, we get a little red screen with some writing. So we don't even get to see this. It says, Liz and one of her guests got into a heated argument. Liz had the woman escorted out. That's all they showed us. They didn't show us the scene at all. Okay. And then we see Big Ed talking to Liz in like the middle of with a couple people. And he's like, I think there's something there that we need to talk about. And she's like, is there? He's like, yeah, we definitely need to talk about it. And I was like, I don't know what this is. So Asia, this is from the mind of Big Ed. Okay. Big Ed Productions presents. The friend that she was arguing with is a lesbian. And it looked like it was an emotional argument between the two of them. So I have to talk to her about it.
She touched her arm in a way that made it seem like they had been in a relationship.
Yeah. And the argument sounded emotional. And we all know you can only be emotional in an argument if there's romance involved.
Right.
And because she is a lesbian, that led this guy to ask the question that we saw in the next time on last week, which was, were you in a relationship with her?
It was just like there were a million ways he could have approached this to find out what the situation was. He could have asked what the argument was. He could have said, you know, why did you have to kick her out? What, you know, what was that? What was happening there? The way he just jumped to accusing her of being in a relationship with her, there was no other reaction for Liz but to storm off. It's just like, what do you say?
Yeah, no, forget mix between Danny DeVito and George Clooney. He went full Ja Morant and jumped, like went for a windmill dunk with this out of nowhere. Like, how is this any logic? I just do not understand how you get to this conclusion, but it just shows more Big Ed's insecurities that he has had this whole time. And Liz, you know, it's her engagement party. Obviously, she's been drinking. She's been hanging out with people. She's, you know, let loose. And she's in a place right now where she gets very irritated with him and leaves the party. We've seen this, you know, there are at this point that you can do a montage of every person who has ran away from the venue and the cameras. And Liz has now joined that party with Paul, with many others, Mike from Mike and Jimena. So Liz runs away. And I wish I could say that was the end of the episode, Asia, because this took an even more awkward turn.
It really did. I did not expect, I didn't expect for us to get a conclusion. I totally thought, you know, oh, we're going to see, you know, everything else next week, or, you know, it's just going to end with her storming off and they'll make up the next day. But for some reason, we needed to see that Big Ed stayed back. He had to close the tab. He had to tell us that. That's why he stayed back. He wasn't sure where she went. In his mind, she was just drunk. She, you know, that there was no other explanation for that. Not that he just asked her a question that came out of left field. No, it came from like not even left field. It came from the parking lot Mm-hmm. And so then he called her and then called the producer. Is that how he ended up getting in touch with her?
I think so, right? Because the producer was the one who said, he's calling. Do you want to take this? So in the middle of all this, Liz is walking away with producers following her with the camera. And she's yelling, she's like, I can't stay out past 11 without his permission. I'm done with him. He's a POS. He's so insecure. He doesn't believe in himself. And then on the other side, you have Big Ed's in the bar, like paying the tab off, saying that he's pissed, embarrassed, and worried about Liz, and that he thinks that Liz is drunk and not thinking. And then he also, Asia says, this is showing me we have too many issues that aren't resolved. This one little thing, he said a comment, she got upset about it, and he's like, well, all these issues we have now. So yes, he does call the producer, I believe, who then gives the phone over to Liz, and he says that, you ruined the entire evening for your mom and your family. You are drunk. Now, I have dabbled in drinking. I have also hung out with people who have drank. And as someone who has done both, the one thing you don't want to ever do is tell someone who's drinking, you are drunk. Especially if they're in a place where they're it's hit them negatively. You do not do that. And you do not try and blame everything on, oh, you drank too much, that's why you're upset, or that's why you are acting out. Because your comment was out of pocket and not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All it's doing is like putting blame on her. Like, he's taking no accountability for his jumping to conclusions. Like, mm-hmm. for his role in any of this, he's just like, whoa, Liz, what are you doing? You're the one acting out of pocket. And just, it was just like, you know, that ultimately ends with her putting the phone down and walking away. And so for him to be surprised, like, Liz, are you there? Can you hear me? No, of course she's continuing to be fed up with you.
Yeah. And do you want to know why she hung up the phone, audience? Here's why. So then when he says all this stuff, she brings up that, you know, you were telling my friend the other night during the photo shoot that she's beautiful, she's amazing, you've brought up weight gain with me. And as she's going on, he says, you're embarrassing yourself, Liz. And he says, something's going on here, and until I know everything I need to know, I won't marry you. He also then comments, Liz, leave the ring, pack your stuff, and move out, because we're not getting married. So she listened to him. She put the ring on next to the phone, dipset, and said, I'm out. I'm walking away. And Big Ed's dumbass is still on the phone, like, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Liz? This is similar to which couple were we talking about earlier? Where... Angela, you say things that are at a point of no return almost. You cannot then expect to patch things up with an I'm sorry. This is extreme.
It really was. Like, with both Michael and Angela and Big Ed and Liz, these are like relationship ending type of arguments. Because obviously it wasn't like, this was an isolated incident for Big Ed to assume this, right? But it's obviously building. Like, she wouldn't react this way if they had no history of her being fed up with him. Because even when she was walking and venting, she's just like, he's so insecure, he's da da da. And she wouldn't say that off of one comment. This has been building.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that, you know, going back to, you know, talking to someone who might be inebriated and you think are not in a good headspace, is the move to gaslight them?
Right.
Like, especially if it's someone you care about and someone who is your friend, let alone your fiance, isn't the move to just take everything on the chin and try and, you know, make them feel better, especially if you're worried about them? None of what you said makes me feel you're worried about her. You wanted to get the last jab in, is how it felt.
Yep, exactly. You wanted the last word, the last laugh. And you know, for this to have been the get engagement party and ended with the ring off of her hand, that's just wild.
Yeah. I mean, and that's how the episode ended for them. And then, in the next time on, Ed is talking about, Liz, I'm tired of your dishonesty. She got physical with you. And then he says, are you a lesbian?
Get Big Ed off the TV screen right now. I'm over this, man. Please. I beg TLC. I don't ask for much.
Send him away with Angela. Like,
just get rid of both.
The same flight, just away from TLC land. Because how is that your question? I mean, it just, first of all, it just sounds so ignorant. There, you know, sexuality is a spectrum. There is a such thing as bisexuality. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you saying even?
Again, I think you made a point. You brought up a thing that's stuck in my head now of he doesn't think before he speaks. He blurts out random stuff and just sees what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. It's infuriating. It really is infuriating. This guy.
But then, like you pointed out, there's so many episodes left. So like, where do they go from here?
Right. Where do they go from here? That is a great question. I hope a breakup, a permanent one, yes. Not a we made up in the tell all. Yeah, we've made up 11 times now. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want you both to clean break and I want to not talk about you again. That's mm-hmm. my dream personally. I don't ask for much. Just get rid of him. Get rid of Angela. And I won't complain about anyone else. Hell, I'll even be like, oh, my God, you brought back Kim and Usman again. Yay.
Right.
The sequel, please. Trilogy, let's go. But these two need to go.
Please. Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Asia. Well, that was a wild, wild ride we took. Thank you so much for catching up with the show to then go through all this with me today. I really do appreciate it. Let the people know, yeah, where can they find you and what other projects you have going on right now?
Yeah. So y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. You can subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. That's where you will find podcasts about Married at First Sight. I am covering season 15 right now with Jason Reed. We're having a great time. We have a Facebook group. So if you listen to the podcast, you can find out the password from the podcast and then join the Facebook group. We have about 340 members so far. So we've been having a great time and they're talking about the show throughout the week. And then also Love is Blind is coming back. Season 3 is coming back. So you can find my season 2 coverage with Mary Kukowski. And we've also covered Love is Blind After the Altar season 2, which just came out a few weeks ago. And then we'll be covering season 3, of course, of Love is Blind. So please stay tuned for that, especially because one of the people on the cast, I know her, or like we're friends from college. So
what?
Yeah, wild. I saw her. I was like, oh my gosh, she's on one of the covers of like promoting the show. So I'm like, I really wonder if she was matched or not.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So yeah. So can't wait to see, can't wait to watch that play out. And then also on that feed is coverage of The Ultimatum. So if you've gone back and watched The Ultimatum that's on Netflix, if you want more of it, there's coverage over on the Love at First Sight feed. And then, yeah, if anything else I'm up to, I will tweet about it. And so just go follow me.
Amazing. So this is very quick, right? That we already have a season 3 coming out for Love is Blind? Because I swear we just watched Love is Blind 2.
Right. We did. Love is Blind season 2 was earlier this year. So it has been quick. Because the first Love is Blind, there was a 2-year gap.
That's what I think that's largely the thing
due
for
me. Due to the pandemic. So now I think they're even season 4 is already in the works. Like they're you know, pushing them out.
Yeah, they're going. Yeah. And I think they recorded these two back to back, maybe, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be checking it out. So I'm excited to listen to you and Mary talk about it all.
Nice.
All right. Well, y'all can find me on Twitter, of course, at PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. We just rung in the 100th edition of our Goose Goose Duck lobby. That was a lot of fun. So please check that out. And a bunch of other stuff I'm getting into there now with Big Brother over. Things have been ramping up on the stream side of things. Masked Singer is on its 8th season, believe it or not. We are about to embark on a new group of contestants starting this week. So check us out there. Liana and I have a great time talking about that as well. And which brings me to the last item on the list here. If you could please leave a rating and review for this podcast, that would mean a lot to me. It would allow me to get much needed feedback. It would allow other people to find the podcast. And, you know, it gives me the opportunity to extend my reach,
to more people to listen to us talk about this nonsense show. So if you could do that, please go over to robaswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, number 0, day fiance. We have arrived at the destination here on the Hot Mess Express. I hope you have a great week. We will catch you next week to talk about episode 8. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then, Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now, Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.